Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody, and happy hump day.
Yes, it is Wednesday, and we had a great day in gold today. It seems like maybe it did get over its hump, and as we had a little bit of pressure after the Fed meeting today, and we'll be talking about that in the second segment of the program today. Gold today, it was up big this morning, then they hit it, and it just sat there until after the Fed meeting's announcement came out a little after 2 o'clock, and we're looking at gold right now up $25 in the New York spot price after market, $1,740. Silver was up 63 cents, 3.62%, $18.29. Platinum was up 10, $843. Palladium was down 15 at $1,998. And the USDX today took another schlacking. It was down 0.43 at 95.95. Crude oil was up 20 cents at 39.14. Paper markets, we're still getting some follow-through from the end of the day, but the Dow was down just 1% to 26,989, down 282 points. But the NASDAQ was up 66 at 10,020, broke over 10,000. The S&P was down 17 at 3,190. The 10-year yield, 0.75%. And let's see if there is anything of interest. Well, there's a lot of things of interest, but not to get to until the second break. So a great day for gold, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. It's Wednesday, and we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, as she does each and every Wednesday. Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy. Wednesday, afternoon. Wendy.
There you go. I like that.
I like it. Hey, everybody. Can you hear me this time? Yay.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I can... Technical yes. glitch last time. Well, I thought we'd talk about the new midlife crisis, you know? You know what the midlife crisis is. You've heard the term, right?
I heard it. I haven't experienced it yet.
Well, okay. Well, midlife crisis or middle age crisis, it often refers to people usually between the ages of 45 and 55 years of age. They tend to encounter a life transition in their identity and their self-confidence. The term midlife crisis was coined by a psychologist, Elliot Jacquise, and he coined that in 1965. It was supposed to describe the phenomenon of a time when adults meditate on their mortality and their life accomplishments and maybe even their bucket list. But Penn State actually looked into how middle-aged Americans are feeling right now in 2020 compared to data they collected in 2010. And there's a big difference in a decade, Melanie. There's a big difference. Now, the Penn State study...
There's a
that
difference
was,
in 3 months anymore.
Oh, I know. And so, well, the Penn State study, they published it May 2010, and they found that middle-aged Americans back then saw life very differently compared to even a decade before that. So the average people in the study found life to be much more stressful. So the researchers were reporting on adults. They were stating that they had at least 2% more stress to deal with in their lives. And what that translates into, according to the research scientists, they say 2% more stress translates into an additional week of stress per year. That's what it feels like, they said. But also, a surprise to them 10 years ago was the middle-aged participants in the study. They said they felt more like 19% more stress, and that translates into 64 additional days of stress per year. So psychologically, that's what it works out to. So, but now people today feel that daily living is even more hectic and chaotic and even less certain than a decade ago. So there have been a lot of changes in our social, financial, educational, political landscape from just one influenza strain. Think about it. One flu strain, and people don't know what to expect next. So the research did get printed in this also May Journal of American Psychology, as they're kind of pulling these all these research studies together. They were saying that stress has tentacles, like an octopus. They said stress seems to invade certain areas of our lives. Stress can influence not only our finances and our relationships, but also our decision-making on the future. So another aspect, they said, of this increased stress that people are experiencing is people saw themselves as having less well-being. Now, that's serious. That's bad. So the middle-aged participant felt that stress affected their finances by about 27%, and therefore it affected their future plans by at least 17%. Here is a quote from Penn State. They said, it's the general squeeze that is making stress more prevalent for people in midlife. I know you probably know some people that are concerned about it, and you're in the financial area, Mel. You probably hear about it a lot.
I do.
Yeah. So another reason the middle-aged area is worried, the research team struggled with this age group, why they were more severely affected. You know, they thought 10 years ago the middle-aged people were doing pretty well. They had some savings, they had retirement, whereas the young people, the millennials, were not in a good financial situation. So they're the ones that should be more stressed. So what they're saying is now us midlifers are more stressed than the millennial group. So it was thought that the younger adults would feel more stress. And one reason for this change is the economic picture for the middle-aged and the market changes that affect their retirement savings. So in 2001, when you had the 9/11 crisis, it tended to deflate retirement savings. A big hit, wasn't it? 50% or close to it, right?
It was big, yes.
Yeah. So with the state of affairs in the United States today, people are concerned that another crisis could wipe out their savings altogether. So it is not the fear of death, like midlife people usually thought of. And it's not the worry of not checking off their bucket list. That's not what's stressing them. A financial collapse is on their mind. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, therefore, midlife crisis in 2010, very different than from 2020. Here's another reason why people in their middle life area is they're stressed. Folks in midlife right now are also thinking about, you know, children going off to school, college, supporting them in college, maybe even taking care of elderly parents. Okay, so they got a lot on their plate. So they're taking care of a lot of responsibility for family members, and this adds to their stress burden, and especially in uncertain times. David Almeida, he's a professor of human development and family studies at Penn State, he said, people in midlife are being responsible for a lot of people. They are responsible for children and often parents, and they may even be responsible for their employees. More responsibility brings more stress, and people are perceiving more stress now than in the past. And then there's that time lapse thing. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, Mel, and then I'm going to ask you, Dave. Do you think time has sped up? It's faster. Do you get that sensation?
Seems that way, except for March.
What about
March,
you, Dave?
April.
Does time seem to, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the other aspect. The people in the study said they seem to be reporting that time has sped up. We can't get as much done in a day as we used to, they said. This seems to be a perspective, though. Not everybody feels that way, but what could be the cause of time going more quickly? Could it be your aging and you're in a midlife crisis? Or could it be the advancement of technology speeding up the pace of life? Or could it be more biblical and the days have been shortened by the Creator, as Scripture has said? I think it's kind of all three, actually. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, when people said they can't get as much done in a day as they used to, there's more interruptions. There's more distractions.
Right, but technology is supposed to make us more efficient.
All due to technology, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then let's talk about technology. That brings its own level of stress. The advancements in our technology have contributed to stress levels. Staying connected to media, friends, family, the work kind of consumes our day. if we are allowing it to. So devices encourage multitasking behavior, which can also stress our mind. And in many cases, technology encourages a lot of compulsive behaviors. David Almeida says this, with people always on their smartphones, they have access to constant news and information that could be overwhelming, and that could add to our stress. But then this was really fascinating, this part of the whole thing. This was research out of the University of London, March 2016. They said they showed that uncertainty causes more stress than if you were to know for sure what's coming. So the study was published in the March Journal of Nature Communications, and this research team showed that people experience 50% more stress if there is a chance of an event compared to those who expected the event to occur. Here's a quote from Arch De Becker, UCI Institute of Neurology. He says, using our models, we could predict how stressed our subjects would be, not just from whether they experienced the event, but how much uncertainty they had about these events. It turns out it's much worse not knowing you're going to have an event than knowing you definitely will have one. So people will sweat more and their pupils will get bigger when they feel more uncertain. I think that's huge.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's really no wonder people feel more stressed because, you know, 20 years ago, you know, compared to today, they've seen event after event take place and it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop. And keeping people off balance is really a military strategy. It's called psychological warfare.
Warfare. Yep.
Yep. Also, let's see, this is also Rob Rutledge. He's also at UCI Institute of Neurology, Computational Psychology and Aging Research. He says the most stressful scenario is when you really don't know. It's the uncertainty that makes us very anxious. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, you don't have answers. You're wanting answers. You're searching for answers, and you're not getting any. That makes it really pushes up the anxiety level.
And
so
most
a lot
answers
of
we get today are lies from government.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Well, yeah. See, a lot That's of yeah. So the research also from the University of London, College of London, also found that stress can be useful. Okay. So they found that with some individuals, their stress response is at a highest, and when it's at the highest, it's at the greatest stress level during uncertain times, and it made them better at making judgment calls. So these are the people that exhibit cool under pressure behavior. Have you ever known anybody that's really good at dealing with pressure? They almost thrive on it.
Sure.
So you've got this group. So also, people, if they're wondering if they're experiencing stress or chronic stress, there are some symptoms to look for. Because you're typically, if you're getting into that chronic area, you've got constant stress. So it's not just, you know, you're under yellow alert. You're more under a red alert all the time. And stress weakens our immune system and also damages our nervous system. Some of the signs would be if you overreact to even small things, if you have headaches, if you have anxiety or depression, if you have difficulty concentrating and managing daily life, if you increase the use of alcohol, tobacco, or drugs, a lot of people manage stress that way. Also, stress-related physical symptoms may be making existing health issues even worse. So a lot of people don't realize that. So we've got life management at midlife crisis is just a bit more challenging than it was a decade ago, Melody. And I know you haven't hit that age group yet, so...
No,
you have time to prepare.
I'm 39. Everybody knows that.
Oh, I know. See, look, you got a couple years to prepare
years
for this.
Don't worry about that. And now with your great information, I will be able to prepare.
All right. Well, there's a lot of things like everybody's had their moments in life, and I'm not without them. And I lean pretty heavily on valerian root if I'm feeling a little stressed and anxious. You know, and you get a little anxious and stressed when things are out of your hand, out of your control. You know, you're relying on other people to pull their act together and do what they need to do so it helps everybody in the group, kind of thing. And that can be very frustrating, especially we mentioned the middle life folks with employees, you know, people got to work together. So I relied heavily on valerian root. And what that does is it just takes the edge off the nervous system. It doesn't sedate you. I mean, you don't lose coordination. You don't have to lay down and take a nap or anything. It just gives the nervous system a big sigh of relief, and you can focus better. You can just focus better. Another sign people have with a lot of stress is a lot of tension in the muscle area. So this is a different system, and I'll use a lobelia herb to just take the tension out of the muscles. Again, not going to sedate you. You'll still be having your coordination. You can still operate a motor vehicle. It's just taking a lot of tension out of the muscular system. It's really good, too, for people that are under a lot of stress and anxiety. They'll sometimes get leg cramps. Charlie horses, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So lobelia just melts that right out of the muscle in like 30 seconds. It's quick. It is really quick. So lobelia works better.
So if you wake up in the middle of the night with a cramp in your foot,
yeah.
You can take a sip.
You just take the maybe a quarter teaspoon of the lobelia in a liquid form works better. It's a herb that has so many alkaloids. It has 16. It's kind of at the top of the alkaloid chain. You got to age it in two different catalysts to grab them all so they'll work right. Thus, the reason most companies don't want to mess with it. So we make it all the time, and it's one of those wonderful herbs you got to have. And so if you get like a Charlie horse, a lot of time that's an indication of a lack of calcium. If you get a lot of Charlie horses, a lot of muscles knotting up in your legs, for instance. So
what about a cramp in your foot or your toes go?
Oh, I know, that's awful, isn't it?
Will that work that quick?
Yeah, it works that quick. I also have taken that liquid, and I jammed a finger back in February, and it swelled all up, you know. And I would, when I opened the pores, I'd run it under hot water, and I'd put some of that liquid lobelia on it, and it just made the tendons feel better. So takes the tension out, see, you know, because everything's so inflamed and tight. So, yeah, I mean, we've got tools here. We just got to learn to use them. You know what I mean?
Fascinating.
Yep. So, you know, take your astragalus root. It protects you from the COVID-19 virus because you can't infect you if you got the zinc, and that's what it's high in is zinc. So definitely do that. Don't be afraid. So many people are fearful because they're being controlled by fear, and that's adding to their midlife crisis, Mel. So
thanks for telling me that.
Oh, I know. So we got Father's Day coming up, so we're going to be running a Father's Day sale really soon, in the next couple of days at Apothecary Herbs. So look for that. They can give us a call, get a free product catalog with all the tools they need to help them get through this tough time. 866-229-3663 is the toll-free number, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Always
Thank
a blast.
All right. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Wendy. We'll see you next week. And listeners, we'll be right back right after these few short advertisements.
We will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We got some great prices on gold. No delays in gold, and seeing a little bit of drop in the premiums in gold. And again, we've been boycotting the American Silver Eagle to get those premiums dropped. I mean, if you want a box of 500 and you want to pay the premium, give us a call. We're still cheaper than everybody else on the internet, on the planet for that matter. They're available if you want them, 1-800-375-4188, but we're selling them in boxes of 500 because I guarantee you the premiums will be dropping, or we're going to try to get them to drop anyway. So gold and silver prices skyrocketed today after the Federal Reserve came out and they decided to keep their rates near zero today. I don't think that was any big surprise. It's amazing that, you know, they were able to keep the price of gold suppressed most of the day, waiting for that announcement when everybody knew they were going to keep it the same. And they indicated that's where they're going to stay until the economy recovers from the recession. Along with the rate decision, the central bankers projected that the economy will shrink 6.5% in 2020. However, in 2021 is expected to show a 5% gain, followed by a 3.5% gain in 2022. Well, my question, Dave, that 5% gain is not the GDP. It's just a gain off the 6.5% in 2020. So if it's a gain of 5%, wouldn't we still be down 1.5%? It's not the GDP.
Oh, exactly. No, well, it is the GDP.
Pardon?
It is. It's just that, I mean, it's the growth or shrinkage as measured by the
right.
GDP. But you're absolutely right. It's a 5% gain off of a negative 6.5 loss.
Right.
So you're right. Yeah, there's...
So then if we're followed by a 3.5% in 2022, that means we're only getting back to the point where we were before the crisis, and that's 2022. Because our GDP was dropping. And we were about, what, a 2.5%? Well, that would take us right about... So now they're saying... So the way I'm seeing this, what they're saying is it's going to be 2022 before we're supposedly back to where we were. That's how I view it. But anyway, the Fed... But a lot of the headlines, the captions, the titles of articles all show that the GDP is going to have a, you know, is going to be 5%. No, we haven't had a 5% GDP for how many years? It's been a long time. So there was always predictions and promises we would hit 5% GDP in the last 4 years, but we never quite made it. The Fed repeated, did we, Dave? We never hit 5% GDP. I think the most we had was...
Well, there has been 5%, but you have to go back a pretty good distance.
Not in the past 5 years, 4 years.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, no.
The Fed repeated its commitment from the April meeting that it expects to maintain this target range until it is confident that the economy has weathered the recent events. They're also going to continue to increase its bond holdings, targeting Treasury purchases of $80 billion a month, mortgage-backed securities of $40 billion. Just for the record, that equates to a total of almost $1.5 trillion. On an annual basis. The FOMC met yesterday and today. States are beginning to reopen, and of course we saw that the unemployment has its worst monthly drop in history, of course followed by its biggest gain, if you believe it. And we'll see about what numbers will be revised next month. And I don't know if you have that in a report, but I saw that the Fed's balance sheet now is what, seven trillion or 7.5 trillion?
Between 7 and 7.5.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, that this FOMC meeting came during the same week that the National Bureau of Economic Research declared that a U.S. recession started in February. Fed officials skipped releasing their quarterly economic projections at its March meetings because of the uncertainty over how long the U.S. would remain in stay-at-home mode and just how deep the damage would be. They did release their forecast this week, and here are some of their numbers for this year and a few in the out years. Fed funds rate, again, 0 to 0.25% through 2022, with the rate over the long run at 2.5. We're not sure how they defined the long run, but normally it's between 5 and 10 years. GDP, again, Melody mentioned. I won't repeat that. Interesting, an average of 1.8% over the long run. Unemployment, significantly a little more optimistic than what we've seen by some other mainstream economists and organizations, 9.3% this year, 6.5 next, 5.5 in 2022, and 4.1 over the long haul. And just if you drill down the number just a little bit, that long-term number is still, what, at least a 0.5%, if not a slightly more, higher, I should say, than the 3.5 headline unemployment rate that we had going into the national shutdown. And then inflation, about 0.8% this year, 1.6 next, 2% in the long run. Core inflation, I'm not even going to talk about because I think it's silly. Investors have been watching the statement for how accommodative the Fed would continue to keep policy. Its bond purchases were seen as critical, given that the Fed has scaled back its purchases sharply. The Fed went from a peak of $300 billion a month in treasuries during the early days of the crisis to $80 billion more recently. Yet again, as Melody stated, it still equates to about $1.2 trillion a year, and that would add to the more than $7.2 trillion of asset holdings on the Fed's balance sheet now. Now, interestingly, last, the dot plot of all committee members' rate expectations showed little dissent this time about keeping ranks anchored through 2022, and notably, no members indicated negative rates. We'll see they stick to that.
Of course, they're not going to indicate it, but they all know that's where it's headed. I mean, and all of these positive numbers that they're projecting, I guess they have to get their numbers from somewhere, but, you know, those are the numbers if everything goes smoothly and they continue to pump the money into the system. So if they're going to go from $7.5 trillion, how high are they going to go to keep it going? I mean, if we're not even get back to what we were in February for 2 years, and that's optimistic. So,
well, I guess we'll know when we get there, right?
I mean, they're pumping trillions of dollars in, you know, into the repo market overnight, extending the loans on that and all the other quantitative easing programs that they've been doing since, you know, that they've created back in the Great Recession, and new ones that they're doing now. But it's all okay. It's all okay. It's amazing. It's just, and I saw, you know, we're going to talk about little Mnuchin, you know, where he mentions, the economy has begun to rebound. Oh, but we need more money to make it rebound. I mean, it's just idiots. But anyway, there was something I saw that we didn't have to talk about today, but I don't know if we talked about, did we talk about the consumer spending? That the U.S. consumer spending plunged by a record-shattering 13.6 in April.
Yeah, we did last week.
And
it's still a good reminder, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I thought this was, I think the report just came out. I don't see where it came out. But last month's spending decline was far worse than the revised 6.9% drop in March, which itself had a record for the steepest one-month fall in records dating back to 1959. Friday's Commerce Department figures reinforced evidence that the economy is gripped by the worst downturn in decades. And, of course, they come out and say, oh, no, we've been in the recession since February. I mean, it's no one is really, I don't think anybody really knows. Maybe that's why they're just not even giving a little bit of inkling. But then again, it's always about what they say, not what they do. And of course, they always have to present good numbers, especially in an, I mean, if they presented bad numbers, well, look, good Lord, what would happen to the stock market? You know, then that $7.2 trillion hole that they've created might mean something to people. But
now, anyway. Wait a second, Melody.
What?
Are you implying that these numbers are not on the up and up? Well, you know, again, another example. I mean, we heard on Friday, talked at some length about the unreliability of these stunning unemployment numbers due to the fact that there were a lot less government employees out in the field surveying businesses, and the fact that there's still a lot of businesses that are still shut down. So the name of the game right now is unreliability. And couple that in an election year with that people on both sides of the aisle think, you know, is the most consequential in our lifetime. It seems like every election
has been
is any
past.
Whatever the case, continue listening to our program. At least we don't take any of the numbers at face value. If we see a flaw in them, we're going to give you our opinion about it.
Well, I just want to mention, we have reports here about inflation falling for third straight month. Well, go buy some meat, and you tell me that inflation has fallen. You go buy some groceries, and you tell me that inflation has fallen. You tell me about anything that you go out and purchase and tell me that the prices have fallen. I mean, come on. I mean, what planet do they think we're on? You know? But yet they come out straight faces and says, hey, it's been the third straight month. Underlying inflation was weak. Of course, the demand. But I don't think that lowered the price. Demand might have been lower, but prices didn't go down. They went higher. Look at the Silver Eagles. Well, that demand went higher, and the prices still went higher, so I guess that's not a good comparison. But you couldn't get them. But with non-essential businesses reopening after shuttering in March, government says deflation is unlikely. Still, today's report from the Labor Department suggests that disinflationary trend could persist for a while. I don't know what's in there. The Labor Department said the CPI dipped 0.1% last month after plunging 0.8% in April, and that was the largest decline since December 2008. prices were held down by the 3.5% drop in the cost of gasoline. Then, of course, that was followed with a 20% plunge in April. So that would reflect a significant drop, Dave.
Well, that's true. Plus, the plunge in gasoline prices, the continuing fall after the huge drop in April. It does report that there's a 0.7% increase in the cost of food last month after a 1.5% increase in April. It just intuitively, based on feedback alone that I've been getting from my own family who shops once a week, that it just seems awfully low. But hey, again, that's what we're being told. Year over year through May, the CPI edged up 0.1%, smallest annualized rise since 2015. And again, excluding the food and energy component, CPI slipped 0.1% in May, on the heels of a 0.4% decrease in April, and that had been the largest drop since the CPIU series started in 1957.
Very interesting. Well, as we mentioned earlier, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said today, "Have you seen or heard anything about Wilbur Ross?"
Wilbur has been laying low, shall we say.
I know.
Haven't seen any hint of him now for several weeks. Let's hope the Commerce Secretary isn't sick.
It's been longer than a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Oh, my timing's off. Maybe it's a couple of months.
Because I think I saw him at one of those virus press conferences, that was in the very beginning. But as often as you see Mnuchin and as often as you see Barr, you would think you would see him floated around every now and then. But I haven't seen that.
You're right. We haven't seen any reporting on his absence.
We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about Steven Mnuchin. And he tells us that the economy is beginning to rebound. We'll be right back. Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we're talking about Steve Mnuchin, and he said today that the U.S. economy has already begun to rebound and repeated it would improve dramatically in the third and fourth quarters. Mnuchin, who appeared before the Senate Small Business Committee to review the progress of these rescue loan programs, he said that incoming jobs and other economic data show that we are all well positioned for a strong phased reopening of our country. We're going to have a strong phased reopening of our country. But what about the damage that has already been done that's not going to be able to be recovered that the day we open the door for new business? The businesses that don't have the money, that are so deep in debt, that aren't getting the loans that some of these other businesses are so easily able to obtain. Maybe they don't have the connections. Maybe they don't have, the abilities. So all's well. We do need to get back to work. I get that. People need to go back to work. Maybe we wouldn't have had so many protests if people were back to work. That's here nor there, but I'm just saying. So I get that, but they're just going to lead us down a path of people thinking that everything is good and fine. And I'm already seeing it. People's portfolios, they're getting their quarterly statements, and it's looking good. Going out buying cars, going out and doing this, it's all over. But they're not thinking past of what was done just to get us to this point. And like, it doesn't matter, Dave. It just baffles me how people think that it doesn't matter. It will matter. Before you go on, Dave, I'm just going to say this. Mnuchin said the U.S. needs additional fiscal stimulus. I don't know if that's part of what we're going to talk about. Particularly for businesses struggling to reopen. So, if we're going to have a strong rebound in the economy, why does more stimulus need to happen, Dave?
Well, because there are going to be tens of millions of Americans in a long-term unemployment scenario.
I know.
So without some additional stimulus, I mean, I guess the question, begs, what happens to them? The debate is got to be what safety net should there be for people under these very unique circumstances. And we know the 800-pound gorilla is the astounding deficit, skyrocketing national debt. I think Friday's blog is going to be about that subject, critiquing an opinion piece that appeared in a mainstream media publication today, I believe, that again said, forget about the debt. It just doesn't matter. Well, I'll have some things to say about that, Melody, on Friday. But Mnuchin and Jovita Carranza, she's the administrator of the Small Business Admin, I don't know if this is going on right now, but I know they were scheduled to appear before Senate committee this afternoon to respond to senators' questions about glitches in the $660 billion payroll protection program. I believe it was Senate. It might be the House. I'm sorry about the ambiguity, but you know, tens of thousands that we know, if not more, small businesses have had difficulties getting loans due to technical glitches, primarily at the Treasury Department. Other well-financed publicly traded companies, on the other hand, access multi-million dollar loans because they were buddies with their bankers primarily. I mean, although it did prompt Mnuchin to issue new guidance requiring companies to return the funds. Mnuchin said that the program, however, was supporting employment of about 50 million workers, more than 75% of the small business payroll in all 50 states. I'd like to see the numbers supporting that statement. But despite the Treasury Chief's optimism over the economy, it's been a long road back. And will continue to be. Mm-hmm. Good luck, Steve, with those rose-colored lenses. I think you're going to be disappointed as the summer progresses.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish it would just automatically, just with a snap of your fingers, just go back to where it was and we could eliminate the pandemic. But it's not going to happen. Debt does matter. These programs do matter. And even though some of those loans, I mean, they're forgivable loans. It's amazing. I don't know. But anyway, yesterday, Dave, we talked, Butch and I, we talked about 25,000 retail stores closing.
Yeah.
For 2020. And last year it was, what, 9,300, 9,800. And that's a big jump. And I remember when we were going from 2,500 to 6,000 retail stores closing a couple of years. I mean, these numbers then were huge. Now we're at 20,000. And we'd only talked briefly about the malls, the impact of those anchor stores that might be closing. And you and I, we've been talking about for some time about the imploding retail apocalypse. And now a former department store executive says a third of America's malls are going to be shut permanently by 2021. Now, Jan Niffen is a former executive at the May department stores, which was eventually folded into Macy's, said the mall has been losing ground for a long time. Now it's losing ground faster. I expect to see a third of the malls go a lot sooner than we thought. Initially, they were only expecting, 33% of the American malls to go dark by 2030. Mm. Now they think it's going to happen by next year.
Jeez.
There are still about 1,000 malls operating in the U.S. today. A large majority of those malls are classified as so-called B, C, and D rated malls, meaning they bring in fewer sales per square foot than an A mall. And an A double plus mall could bring in as much as $1,000 in sales per square foot, for example, while a C-plus mall does about 320. So there are roughly 380 C-minus and D-rated malls out of the 1,000, and those are considered the most at risk of going dark permanently, as they just don't generate enough sales to maintain the property and have greater vacancy rates. I wonder if they include strip malls.
Yes, I believe so. Okay. I believe those might be the C,
among the C and D's.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Macy's CEO, Jeff Gannett, spoke to this reality. He said, when you look at the bulk of those stores, they're in A malls. And of course, that comes as Macy's plans to shut 125 of its stores over the next couple of years. Gannett added that 51% of our stores, Macy's, and 65% of our sales are all in A malls, and they're the best malls in the country. They will stay, definitely, and will stand the test of time. He points to highly motivated REIT, real estate investment trust developers, that he says are the best in class, and they're looking at remixing the tenant mix of these malls. They'll be forced to, as a number of major retailers continue to go out of business, even the ones that aren't the anchor stores. So, crazy, crazy stuff, and plays right into what you said during the last story, Melody, just about really how bad this is going to be to come out of where we're at right now.
I mean, just think of the thousands and thousands of jobs. What's going to replace those jobs?
Yeah, it's a shame.
And these are, you know, these are retail.
Building robots.
And again, it's these strip malls. I mean, if you look at some of these strip malls and so forth, I mean, look at the condition. It's a sign of, I don't know if it's a sign of everybody buying online or it's a sign of our infrastructure that is decaying. I mean, you look at some of these strip malls. They look like they're 100 years old. Who wants to go to them? You don't even feel safe going into the parking lot in some of these. So it's a combination, I'm sure. But again, it's a sign of our our infrastructure, that there's no money there. There's just no money to do anything. So the only thing that they can do is bail everybody out instead of doing something constructive so that these jobs can be maintained. I don't know. It's they're just throwing money down a rat hole, was the old saying.
Well, they're certainly taking care of their own. Their C-level, their C-suite brothers. Some sisters, but mainly.
Yeah.
Mainly brothers that dominate the top of these particular publicly held companies. Severance packages that include, you know, millions to tens of millions in stock options. While the everyday American just lingers and hopes to have enough money now to make sure ends meet for them and their families.
Yeah, we talked about, it was Macy's, it was somebody else. There's a couple of them where going into, you know, bankruptcies and big bonuses are paid. So, and I get the idea behind it, but I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right at all. And, you know, some of the speaking of jobs that have shown some of the biggest declines since the shutdown, do you want to go over that list, some of the jobs that have seen some of the greatest declines, Dave?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, lots of numbers. We'll go through some of them. ZipRecruiter has compiled a list. Its economists have that have shown the greatest declines in job postings, anyway, between mid-February and mid-May. At the top, number one is Uber and Lyft drivers, 91% decline. Airline flight attendants, 90%. Car washer, 87. Tour guides, 85. Retail store associates, 84. Event conference planners, 82. Hotel staff, 82. Office manager, 81. Chef, 80. Catering, 80. That's just the top 10. And what do all of them have in common? Well, it looks as though they are all jobs that work, that entail working close together with other people. Now, we also have commercial pilots, ticket sellers, ushers, valets, actors, musicians, insurance loss prevention specialists. Not a good time for those jobs to be down 62%. Barber 58, commercial property manager, and at number 20, hotel front desk associates, down 47%.
Those are some big, big drops, and you're right, because they involve so many people. It doesn't seem like they can all come back at once. They'll just be coming in piecemeal, I guess, until...
I know. But hey, mortgage apps are up 5%, so hey.
Well, that's good.
What's everyone complaining about?
You're right. We don't want to complain about the unemployment benefits being doled out unequally. We don't want to talk about that. Brexit? What breakfast? Brexit? What about that? We haven't talked about Brexit in ages. And now all of a sudden it's an issue? But what I do find interesting, though, we can finish this. Well, we're out of time, and we should talk about it on Friday, maybe, as a U.S.-China showdown about how it might just get a little bit messier.
Yeah, that's poised to be a big problem, particularly with all the ill will still toward Huawei and its ilk.
Yes, so that'll be something we need to follow up on Friday. But I'll be back tomorrow with Butch. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.